Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
We're doing what people are doing all over the globe today. We're gathering together and we are celebrating, but we're not celebrating a company or a team or a movie. We're celebrating the hope that's Easter, the hope that has prevailed for over 2,000 years, and it has continued to shine through the darkness and the despair and the death and disease and all the junk that's in this world. There's still a light that continues to shine, and that's the light that says Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. And that is what gives us such a hope today. You know, to really appreciate Easter, you have to appreciate the cross. And to appreciate the cross, you need to appreciate the severity of the cross. We've made it kind of pretty, but it was harsh. The Roman cross was used as a deterrent to crime and disobedience. And the Romans were a brutal group. If the Greek culture were a scalpel, the Romans were a sledgehammer. And they were a brutal group. And the cross was just such a difficult way to die. It was degrading. It was excruciatingly painful, and it hurt. And for Jesus to take that and take that cross and to bear that cross and then to communicate as he communicated, that's amazing. And keeping in mind, he had just been beaten almost half to death. So Jesus is communicating from the cross through all that pain. And I don't know about you, but when I'm in pain, I have a tendency. And that's the tendency, I don't want to talk to anybody. I just kind of want to draw in. I don't really want to focus outward. And yet Jesus did. When I'm in pain, I don't know about you, but especially in pain, there's a tendency, it does not bring out the best in us. We tend to lash out. A number of years ago, we had gone on a family vacation to the beach, and the trip had been great so far, if you consider I-10, but... We had gotten there and we put everything in the place we were staying. And I'm sitting on the balcony, and it hadn't happened to me before or since. I got sick just like that. And all of a sudden, I still don't know what it was. Man, it hit me, and I am just sick. And I go in, I lie down on the bed. I've got my hand over my head. I'm just trying to get through it. And Joy comes in. Joy likes to ask questions. I don't like to answer questions when I'm feeling great. And when I'm feeling horrible, I hate answering questions. And she's just peppering me with questions. And finally, I just snapped off something. I didn't cuss at her, but I just snapped off something at her. It was pretty harsh. And I remember she looked at me, and she walked out. And then she walked back in. And she smiled, and her joy smile. And she said, if you're planning on getting healed, I suggest you walk in love. And she said, if you plan on me taking you to the emergency clinic, I suggest you be nice. And then she just walked out again. And I got nice. But the idea that when you're in pain, in excruciating pain, and that's where Jesus was, and yet he communicated to us messages from the cross that still resonate today. To appreciate Easter, you got to appreciate the cross. And to appreciate the cross, you have to appreciate how difficult it was. These are some of the messages that Jesus communicated. We'll read first in Luke. Two others, both criminals, were led out to be executed with him. When they came to the place called the Skull, or Golgotha, they nailed him to the cross. And the criminals were also crucified, one on his right, one on his left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And the soldiers gambled for his clothing by throwing dice. The crowd watched, and the leaders scoffed. He saved others, they said. Let him save himself if he's really God's Messiah, the chosen one. And the soldiers mocked him too by offering him a drink of sour wine. And they called out to him, if you're the king of the Jews, save yourself. Jesus had a message. He had a message for the ones that hurt him. You got to be a pretty heartless individual to be on crucifixion detail and nail someone's hands and feet to a cross. They hurt him. And yet Jesus prayed a prayer for them. He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And the message that came from the cross that day was, Forgiveness is bigger than the pain we cause. You say, well, why is that even important? I can't tell you how many people I run into who feel like they are outside the realm of God's forgiveness. That there's God's forgiveness, but they're outside because of the life they lived, or maybe the life they're living now, or what they've done, or how they've hurt other people, and they just feel like, you know, I just can't be forgiven. Or maybe family members haven't forgiven them, and they feel like they are in the unforgiven group. But I'm going to tell you something. You need to broaden that circle, because God's love and God's circle is bigger than your mistakes. And that forgiveness is very much real. And the message from the cross still stands today. How about the ones that insulted and mocked Jesus when he was at his worst, when he was feeling as vulnerable and as difficult as he could be, and they mocked him and insulted him? I don't know about you. I don't like to be insulted by anybody. People still remember insults they got back in elementary school. Joy and I have 3 children and 7 grandchildren. They're all special, all wonderful, and different. And my daughter Christina has 2 boys, Grant and Owen. Owen, who's 4 years old, has already shown an amazing ability to insult people. At 4, his mom Christina brought in some, she had some photos on the table. She's doing passport photos, and he walked in, saw them, and he went, "Ooh, you look horrible." And Christina, trying to give him credit for being 4, said, "Doesn't mommy look beautiful?" He goes, "Not really." And then he doubled down on it. He looked at his mother. He went, "I don't think the camera likes you." At 4. Now, Joey and I are laughing because his mother at 4 used to tell everyone their breath stunk. We're like, praise God, there is justice in the world. But the problem is you're 4 years old and you're insulting people, and people remember that. How about when you're hanging on a cross, when you're hurting, you're in pain, and people are looking at you going, if you're the Son of God, come down. If you're the Son, if you could, you saved other people, why don't you save yourself? And they kept pressuring Jesus to save himself, to come down from the cross, and he could have and done a lot more. In fact, just the day before, they're in the garden, Peter's takes out his sword and attacks a guy who's come to arrest Jesus, cuts off his ear. Jesus puts the man's ear back on, then looks at Peter and said, "Put your sword away." He said, "Don't you think right now I could pray and ask my Father and he would send me more than 12 legions of angels?" That's 60,000 angels. That'll get the job done. Jesus was saying, he could come down. But they kept saying to him, "Save yourself. You saved others, save yourself." But by choosing not to save himself, he saved us. And it wasn't nails that held Jesus to the cross. It was love. And the message from the cross is that unparalleled, unselfish love is available even for the ones who hurt and mock and insult, which makes it available for everyone. Messages from the cross. There's a couple more. Standing near the cross were Jesus' mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother standing there beside the disciple he loved, that's John, who wrote the book of John, he said to her, "Dear woman, here's your son." And he said to this disciple, "Here's your mother." And from then on, this disciple took her into his home. And Jesus knew that his mission was now finished. And to fulfill scripture, he said, "I'm thirsty." And a jar of sour wine was sitting there, so they soaked a sponge in it and put it on a hyssop branch and held it up to his lips. And when Jesus had tasted it, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head, gave up his spirit. Jesus is in the middle of probably the most intense spiritual, emotional, physical battle that any of us could have ever dealt with. And in the middle of that, he had a message for his mother. He looked at his mother and said, "John, there's your son, John. John," he said, "there's your mom." In other words, he took care of his mother in the middle of his agony. And what's interesting is Jesus had 4 brothers and at least 2 sisters at home. But there may have been some conflict there because Mary believed in Jesus and the brothers did not. They came around later, but at this point in time, they really thought he was outside of his mind. And so maybe Mary going home, there would have been conflict, and Jesus did not want his mother to be in conflict. And so the message from the cross is that God doesn't just care about spiritual things. He cares about the worries and pains and the things that we deal with in this life. And that he wants peace in families, including your family. Then he said, "I'm thirsty," which only reminds us that he handled it as a man, not as God. And then he said, "It's finished." When Jesus said, "It's finished," the word "finished" simply means to accomplish, to complete, to fulfill. And when Jesus said, "It's finished," he knew he had fulfilled everything that was necessary for mankind to be free. Free from sin, free from darkness, free from death, free. He paid it, fulfilled it, because another word for finished in the Greek is paid in full. When Jesus said it is finished, he meant the penalty for our sins, the penalty for the sins of mankind, were paid by him in full for us. Right now in China, they have an interesting scenario that if you're ultra wealthy, you can get out of a prison sentence by hiring a body double. Young man, the outcry came out in China because a young man, his name was, I guess it's pronounced Hu, H-U, who, 20 years old, was drag racing one night and struck and killed a pedestrian. They sentenced him to 3 years, but the outcry came because the man who showed up to receive the sentence and the man who went to prison was not Hu. He had hired a body double. And that practice is so common there in China, they have a name for it. They call it criminal substitute. There's a criminal substitute, someone who takes the place of another. And we think, that is so wrong. That's exactly what Jesus did for us. See, in China, it's the powerful guilty giving their problems to the weak innocent. But Jesus was our substitute. He stood in for us, and so he's now the powerful innocent taking the price of the guilty, weak, us. We didn't have the power to overcome our sins. He did, and he paid the price for it. And when he said it's finished, it is finished. It's done. Price paid. Now, when he also said it's finished, there was another reason he said it's finished. His work, what he was to do, was done. Now he's putting it in God's hands. I love what Joy said today. That is so true. Listen, when you think you've come to the end of your rope and you think it's finished, put it in God's hands. He's not done. And he was not done with Jesus. I love that about Easter. Easter doesn't end at the cross. Easter ends in a garden. It ends with the resurrection. It ends on a good note. And we are glad it does. But here's the story. Saturday evening when Sabbath ended, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, there's a lot of Marys back then, went out and purchased burial spices so they could anoint Jesus' body. Very early on Sunday morning, just at sunrise, they went to the tomb, and on the way there, they were asking each other, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" But as they arrived, they looked up and saw the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled aside. When they entered the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and the women were shocked, but the angel said, "Don't be alarmed. You're looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Look, this is where they laid his body." Could you see these ladies walking to the tomb? They got all these spices. They're going to basically embalm. It was a Jewish embalming thing. And they were going to embalm it. They're like, "Uh-oh, we got a problem. Who's going to roll that stone away for us?" These stones were huge. They weighed hundreds of pounds. They sat in a track. We're not talking about a little stone. We're talking about a big stone. They weighed hundreds of pounds, and they realized, we don't have the ability to roll this stone away. But when they got there, they found that God had already taken care of that. That an angel had already moved the stone aside. It only took him one, probably thumped it, and it just moved to the side. But the angel had already moved. So God did for them what they couldn't do for themselves. And boy, is that the story of Easter. Because for hundreds of years, thousands of years, mankind is saying, "How do I get to God?" I will work my way there. I will try to be good enough. I will try to do all the right things, and I'm still not making it. But with a holy, perfect God, how do I get to God? It was a stone we could not roll. And so God rolled it for us. Because when he raised Jesus from the dead, he made us right with him. Romans says, he was handed over, Jesus was handed over to die because of our sins, and he was raised to life to make us right with God. We couldn't roll that stone. God did it for us. And then the resurrection of Jesus is what Tim Keller calls the receipt. A heavenly receipt. If you are in a department store and you buy some clothes and you're still shopping around the department store, you better get a receipt. Because they could stop you. They could say, what's in the bag? You don't have to show them what's in the bag. You just pull out your receipt and go, this is my receipt. It says I have paid for these clothes and I'm not going to pay for them again. When God raised Jesus from the dead, that's our heavenly receipt that says my sins have been paid for. I don't have to pay for them again. My peace has been paid for. I don't have to pay for it again. It's all been paid for. Here's my receipt. It's a done deal. And this receipt says everything Jesus said from the cross is validated. There's forgiveness for all. There's a love that's bigger than our problems. There's a care for the worries and pains of this life and a care for families. And it's finished when we realize that we don't have to work our way to God anymore. That it's been done for us. And all we have to do is receive. Everyone remembers the pandemic. What a dark time that was for us. I remember my mother was in a nursing home at the time. And she was getting toward the end of her life. And we went to see her and they wouldn't let us go in. And we had driven all the way from North Carolina, actually flew from North Carolina, and to see her. And I remember that they wheeled her out and there was a glass door between us. And I put my hand up to the door and she put her hand there. It was a hard time for our elderly, hard time for those in memory care. A lady named Mary Daniel experienced that in Jacksonville, Florida. Her husband, Steve, had contracted Alzheimer's 7 years before the pandemic. And every night, Mary would go to the memory care facility and get Steve ready for bed and make sure he was in bed and loved him. But when the pandemic came, they shut her out. And for almost 4 months, she had not been able to see her husband. And she said, we're doing this to protect them. She said, but it's killing them. Said, all this isolation. She said, they need love. They need to be touched or they'll wither away. And it was just killing her that she was not able to get to her husband. But out of the blue, they called her and they said from the memory care from the headquarters, they said, we have a job for you. If you're willing to take it, it will let you in the facility. She said, I'll take it. And Mary Daniel became a dishwasher. Took a job as a dishwasher, part-time. Washing dishes. I don't think anybody grows up and wants to be a dishwasher. Nothing wrong with it, but no one aspires to it. And so here she was. She'd already been retired, but now she goes back, and now she's a dishwasher, and she was thrilled about it. She said, I am so lucky. I am so fortunate. She said, because I get to see him. She said, I've seen him. She was talking to a news agency. She said, I've seen him for 3 days now, and I can already tell his demeanor is better. And she said, I get to go and see him tonight. She said, I just love him and want to be with him. And we hear that, and we think, now, that's love. That's love. That's exactly what God did for us. Worse than the pandemic, sin had separated man and God. And God loved us enough. He said, I've got to get to them. So he entered our world by sending his son in the form, not of a king, as a servant. And he came as a servant and he died voluntarily on a cross and was raised from the dead to reunite us with God. That's Easter. I don't watch as much television as I used to, but when I do watch now, I watch sports. I'm amazed by how much the pharmaceutical companies dominate the ad space today. I mean, they're singing and dancing about diabetes medicine. It's pretty amazing. But then what they'll do is they'll tell you what this drug will do for you. And then they start to list all the side effects. Oh, it'll heal this, but it'll give you nausea, diarrhea, blindness, a heart attack, and mental anxiety. You're like, wait, whoa. Why do I want all this and to get this? Well, that's kind of the good and the bad. You know, gospel, what the gospel means? The gospel means it's good news. It's good news. Here's the good news today. Here's the good news at Easter, that you have a Savior. You have the offer of a Savior, and He will bring you love, forgiveness, peace, right, make you right with God, give you grace, give you strength, help your family. He will do all of that. And you say, well, okay, but what's the downside? There is no downside. You say, whoa, man, how much does it cost? What do I got to do? How do I clean up my life? How do I get there? Listen, don't worry about cleaning up your life. You just receive the Savior. That's all you have to do. It's free. God won't force it on anyone, but it'll give you the chance to simply receive the hope that's in Easter. Would you bow your head for a moment? We'll be out of here in just a couple of minutes. But if you came today and you're saying, you know what, Alan, I don't know that I have that relationship with God, or I know I don't and I want one. Maybe you're like I was. At one time, I had a relationship with the Lord and I walked away from Him. He didn't abandon me, I abandoned Him. But maybe that's you today and you're thinking, man, I want back in. And the great news is He will take you back in. His forgiveness is that big. And so as heads are bowed and eyes are closed, we're going to say a prayer. Now listen, we're not going to ask you to stand up. We're not going to have you come down to the front. You're going to say a prayer, though, and this is a powerful prayer. It's short, but it's a prayer to reunite you with the One who loves you more than anyone else. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I am going to ask you to do one thing. If that's you that I'm talking to, if that's you who's saying, Alan, I want in on that prayer. Would you pray for me? Would you shoot your hand up real quick just across this auditorium? Thank you. Thanks. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks. Thanks. Thank you for your courage. You can put your hands down now. Now, maybe you didn't lift your hand and you're sitting there thinking, oh, man, I really wanted to do that. Listen, we're going to say this prayer, and God sees hands. That's good. He also sees hearts. So you can pray this prayer from your heart. We're going to pray it with you as a church family. If you're online and watching, if you're by yourself, pray this out loud. If you're with others, pray it quietly. We're going to pray it here with you as a church family. Say, dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe You're the Son of God. I believe You died on the cross for my sins. And God raised You from the dead. Right now, I confess You as my Lord, as my Savior, as the One who forgives me and restores me. Thank You, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with You. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to You. Now, with heads bowed just for a moment longer. Heavenly Father, thank You for those who prayed that prayer. For those who've come out of spiritual darkness into the light, for those who've come back home, for those who've confirmed their faith in You and their hope in You. Lord, we thank You for the wonderful things and the wonderful plans and the great future that they have in You. And we give You all the praise for that. Father, for those of us who have known You and walked with You for a long, thank You. Easter reminds us that there was a price paid and what You did for us that we can never do for ourselves. We love You and appreciate You. And we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.